You're listening to A Woman's World. I'm Purvi Shah, and I have here today with me Tejpreet Kaur, the director of the community development at the Sikh Coalition. So, Tejpreet, you know, you were talking about your early work at a rape crisis center and sort of the ways in which gender studies, women's studies has informed your work in general with the community. I'd love to hear a little bit about the presence of women either in the work you've done in Wisconsin or with youth, and how have girls and women been a part of that work?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think even I'm sure through your experience, you've noticed that in the nonprofit world, women are really lead.
Wait, I feel like we're sharing a secret. Just kidding.
And, you know, I think being at the Sikh Coalition, it's been really great to be a part of that as well. Yeah. You know, I was, you know, Supreet Kaur is our executive director, and seeing, you know, her, the recognition of her leadership in so many different spaces now, just recently the inaugural prayer where she offered, which was really incredible. And personally for me, while I knew that she was going to be offering prayer at the inaugural prayer, seeing her there as a Sikh woman, I was caught off guard, you know, and I just, it was really incredible to see myself, my identity being represented there. You know, she was standing like 10 feet away from President Obama and the First Lady and you know, having a dupatta on her head, a chunni on her head, and just saying Waiguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waiguru Ji Ki Fateh, you know, these really divine words that run so deep in my personal memory and history, was really incredibly powerful, and it really, I think, resonates with not just the nonprofit world, but really Sikh philosophy and values of women being equal, and it's been really a great experience being a part of that at the Sikh Coalition. And in my youth work, you know, these young women, I can't tell you how much they inspire me. You know, they're just young, and they're fierce, and they're fearless, and they really feel they can take on the world, and which has been just a real blessing and inspiration for me personally to be a part of. It reminds me of, you know, my younger years and also feeling that way, and they get me really geared up as well. And it's incredible because these young women face a lot of challenges in their day-to-day lives, and they have a lot of responsibilities, whether it's at home or in, you know, outside, and they just own it and they run with it, and they have no fear, and they know that they can accomplish things, and it's been really, really, you know, a great blessing for me to be a part of that.
You know, as you're talking, Tejpreet, I mean, I think the thing that comes to my mind is just how, as we grow older, we become more and more self-doubtful or fearful, or just how important like the gift of possibility is, and that it's so inspiring to have that gift from youth and that sense of fearlessness and to be able to make change, you know, when so often we're conditioned out of it in some ways. And I guess I'd love to hear from you about maybe a moment that you felt that something wasn't possible and then it became possible. And how did that transformation happen? Or, you know, have you been through a period where you felt like you couldn't do something and then it did, it emerged?
Right. You know, I think it's interesting that you asked me that question. You know, I think that, you know, I personally had some personal struggles, with whether it was, you know, when I was growing up, and it just at home. And I think that there were, like, you know, I grew up in a very traditional, household, and there was a struggle that I had with my father actually about moving out to Toronto, when I was younger. And it's interesting because I, it was exactly 10 years ago around this time. And I found my journal, from 10 years ago, just recently. And I saw my journal and read, the personal struggles that I was going with. And eventually Dad and I, we were okay, and things happened. But what, for me, what, what really stood out in my journal as I was reading it was just how much I knew going to Toronto was what I really needed for myself. And I think, you know, when you were saying this like self-doubt, you know, that it, like I was reading through it, and I don't know how I came across this journal from 10 years ago even, but when I was reading through it and seeing just like, I know this is what I need. And it was like repeated. I had written it so strongly and throughout the journal, like it was like the focus and just knowing, just self-knowing that this is what I needed to do. And it was just so evident throughout those pieces. And I think that other decisions that I've made in my life, I don't know if I've been so strong in them, certainly made them, but, and knowing, and maybe I didn't need to do it with so much force because there's not as much resistance there. But Toronto was certainly the best decision that I made for my life. Didn't know whether it was going to happen or not, or whether it was going to happen with my father's approval, and it all worked out, and it all worked out for the best. That's where I ended up, you know, specializing in women and gender studies, and started working with immigrant, you know, rights, and you know, which set the track to come here to New York City, and so on and so forth. I think for me personally, you know, I think this. Just the self-knowing and just like trusting my intuition has really become part and parcel with my practice, and realizing that I need to value what my intuition is, and understand, you know, when I feel something and when I feel I need something, that's what I need. And really went in my work, just trying to instill that with the young woman that I work with as well, you know, because I think as women, we are often taught to more obey or listen, and that, you know, that other people know better, you know, whether it's our parents or whether it's, you know, somebody that's older that knows better. And you know, and certainly I think it's important to take advice and mentorship, but I constantly remind my youth that, you know, you are the experts of yourself. No one knows you better than you. And so, you know, and we need to be empowered by that reality, that truth, that I know myself very well, and I know when things feel right or when things don't feel right, and then when things need to change.
I love that, especially because in terms of the knowing and then how that decision has influenced the rest of your life so far, in terms of the path you've created. And I think, you know, what's always fascinated me is there's often an idea of equality across the genders, whether it's in our religious faith or whether it's in our social values. But then in practice, it doesn't always look so easy, right? You know? And then to be able to say, no, actually, I'm leaving home because it's my calling is such a brave step to have taken.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel like that going away has transformed you, and how has it transformed your family?
I think it was like the best thing that could have happened for me and my family. I think for me personally, it just gave me space to really understand and know and realize who I was and what I needed, my purpose. And it really helped me determine my purpose. It also, you know, I think that, I think one really important piece was that it allowed me to also understand what's missing in my life. Once I was starting to create my own life, for instance, very quickly I noticed that Girthan was not in my life anymore, because you know, I took it for granted that Dad played Girthan all the time, and I never ever had to turn on the stereo or the radio or whatnot. Dad would always have it on, and so you know, a couple months into living away, and that was, I was just like, wait a minute, I really need this. So I, you know, called Dad and it's like, you know, I need some Girthan, Dad. It was like, and so he sent it along. Hey, it's not here. And, and I didn't think to pack it, you know, so, and it came. And then, you know, finding and developing friendships where, you know, I used to go weekly to the Gurdwara with my family. And there was a long period of time when I first moved to Toronto that I didn't know where the Gurdwara was. And there was nothing really that I thought was accessible from downtown where I was living. And then, you know, meeting friends and discovering where the Gurdwaras were, and then setting up kept that same routine that I had all my life at home, and setting that up and doing that weekly visit to the Gurdwara every Sunday with my friend. And you know, I think for me, it was so important to have that distance to understand really what were my personal values, not my family's values, but my values as an individual. And of course, that came from my family and my upbringing, and recognizing that, and which allowed me to value all the more what my parents had taught me.
I think what's so beautiful about what you're sharing is I feel like sometimes parents have this sense that, well, first, of course, they're going to miss their children, which is totally understandable. And, you know, also this practice of like kids going away is not very South Asian, yeah. You know? So, I mean, more so now, of course. Yeah. But I think what's so beautiful about what you're saying is that you take a piece of home with you, mm-hmm. and that sometimes when you leave, you actually understand that better. And
absolutely,
you know, that it becomes actually a more powerful presence in some ways.
Absolutely.
Even as you're expanding in so many other ways. I mean, I feel like, do you kind of think about what new dreams that you have in terms of, you know, you've done all this work now for the community and for yourself in terms of growth. And do you still think about new visions of what you want to do and be?
That's a, you know, I, you know, it's funny. I think that a part of my experience, what it's taught me is also that the surrendering piece is really important, and it's and the trust. You know, while I do dream, and I dream of worlds, like, you know, a vision of the world that I would like, certainly the world that I would love my daughters to grow up in, and the change that is required to make it happen. I also think a lot about like the day to day, like what is the issue right now and how do we resolve it. But in terms of my personal aspirations, I know for me, working for my community is a life's commitment, and it's my life's work is doing this work, and whatever space that I'll be in, and I think over the years, whether it was through my personal struggles or you know, just the struggles of our community, what I really realized is that you know, the plan is already developed by the divine, and I know that I'll be in the right space at the right time, wherever I need to be, wherever I need to help create that change. And you know, I remember a conversation with one of my girlfriends where I was, you know, thinking, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do when I move to New York. And, you know, it was still about a year's move away, but, and she was like, and I was like, you know, I should have a better plan. And she's like, well, where's your spreadsheet or your plan on what brought you here? And she's like, show me it, you know? And I was like, well, I don't have a spreadsheet on what brought me here. You know, it just, you know, I'm here. And she's like, and so, you know, you're taken care of. And my plan, my vision is just to trust and know that I'll be in the right space wherever I need to be doing the work. I know that this is my life's work, and this is what I'll be doing in terms of service for my community, and whatever community that is, wherever I may be in the world, and more or less, certainly creating change depending on the geography that I'm living in, and the current climate and context at that time, because things change depending on which community that we're in, and certainly. I think carving out visions for a particular type of change may not be as necessary right now for me, just because we don't know what community I'll be in and what change that'll need to occur.
Mm-hmm. I love what you're saying in terms of it's always an engagement, a partnership with the context.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I'd love to hear how you feel like your own migration history, even just moving from Canada to the United States, and, you know, how do you feel like that's influenced you and your choice of what you do
right.
and how you do it?
you know, migration has been something that I've been really, really obsessed with for a long time. And when I think about my personal migration, it starts back in, like, you know, in 1947 when my grandmother migrated from Pakistan to India during the partition. And I see that as a part of myself, and because I draw strength from that. And so when I think about migration, and then it was the migration of my mother from India to Canada in 1976, you know, at a time that, you know, people were not migrating over. And then, you know, and the struggles that she experienced in the town that we grew up in, and certainly draw that as inspiration. And then I think about my personal migration, you know, going from whether it was, you know, Vancouver to Toronto or Toronto to here to New York City. And so I, when I think about migration, I think about the lineage of migration, and I draw strength from the woman that migrated. I think that, you know, what I'm trying to understand is the historical knowledge that comes from that, whether it's about family, whether it's about love, whether it's about the divine and the sacred migration that occurred, all of that. Like, how does that, you know, how does that end up being within me, and how do I express that? And how is that a part of me, and how do I use that as my tools to continue doing the work and creating the change that I want to create?
It's really beautiful. So Tejpreet, I'd love to have you close. If you have a blessing that you could offer our community, what would that be? A blessing or a wish?
I think that would be just love. I know that it's maybe cliche, but love of yourself, of your sisters, of our communities. Also just to have, to really, understand each other, to really reach out humbly to understand each other, and really hoping that each and every one of, each and every person in our community is able to have a friend, have an ally, have support, you know, just to be able to get through the day to days, because I know it's hard. And you know, we can't do this alone, and to be able to reach out and offer the love and the support.
Thank you so much for that inspiring blessing. And I love how so much of this conversation has been in the face of so much struggle to talk about faith over fear. So thank you so much, Tejpreet.
Thank you, Purvi,
for offering that. And thank you all for listening into A Woman's World. I've been so excited to have had this chance to have such amazing conversations. And I thank each of the folks who made it on to the show, and to the people who've helped support this show to happen, and to each one of you for listening into these conversations. We don't often get a chance to talk about issues in our community, women's voices, and also the ways in which we can each be divine in love. So I'm so glad to be able to close out A Woman's World with this conversation. So be peaceful, be well, and live in beauty.